Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Bipolar Bits. Thank you for checking in. I appreciate all of my listeners and I guess you'd call them supporters. Damn it. I made it 13 seconds without saying, I'm going to figure that out later. It's really just because I want to think about what I'm trying to say to you guys before I say it and ramble off. So to catch up from our last episode, I was recording at, so I've been on a really good schedule lately. I've been going to bed at like 10, 11. At the latest, I go to bed around 2. And then I can be up at anywhere between 7 and 9. And I do okay that way. It's not the greatest, especially because I started to work out again. And I need a lot more sleep than that. But on the rougher nights, if I'm getting in bed and like in bed by 2, I'm still falling asleep, which is awesome for me. The other day, I was up from early in the morning. I explained in the episode we'd had a long day of work. I have a new dog that I'm running. I went to a party for a few hours and then came home and then basically got in this mode of like working again. And that's what I sat, I guess, doing all night. And it was pretty fucked up. Like I was up all night and you guys could hear me. I couldn't think. I was exhausted. And that's what I do here. I record myself. I try to record myself in bad times because I want people to understand, first of all, people who aren't dealing with this that are trying to deal with people who are, it never really looks like anything until it does, so to speak. I don't know. I don't know if that makes sense to most people, but it does to me. It's a very internal thing. I've talked about this in past episodes. It's extremely hard to talk about something when you can't see it, especially if you're a person like me who just feels guilty and horrible for even mentioning, you know, feelings and vibes and whatever. I'm not into that, you know, unless it's like a girl I'm dating, maybe, I guess. I can talk to them about it. Like, hey, I really like you. Your butt's cute, you know, that kind of thing. But other than that, like talking about this kind of demoralizes me a little bit. And I've talked about that in past episodes. And part of the reason why this podcast is not consistent, it's just, it's hard for me to come undone with that. Like, I don't want to talk about mental health issues. I think it's, anyways, so that is the update for that for the episode that I dropped. To further explain the subscription thing, I've accidentally clicked this button that said execute or activate subscription-based programs. I don't do that. I am going to have a shameless plug here. I do have a Patreon now if you guys want to find that and support me in continuing to try to build this. I'm going to. It's crazy to me that I've tried to let this die and kind of just ignored it, thinking that it would not have any life anymore, and people are still here. Like, the fact that I can post an episode a year later after an episode and somebody out there is listening is fucking wild to me. So, again, as I spoke on in the episode where I was falling asleep the other night, you know, I want to point out, like, that is part of the reason of why I've come back, along with the fact that I've created so much content in other fields and I had fun in those fields, and it's a lot of fun doing all that. But again, my voice, I don't get to talk and I guess express myself. So the other part is the therapy for me, and hopefully the therapy for you guys. Welcome to Bipolar Bits, the podcast about little bits of information that I collect after being diagnosed with bipolar disorder. I still don't believe it. No, I'm kidding. I do. I'm going to say, though, you know, it's more just depression for me and slight mania and not sleeping. All right. No, I'm not saying any of that. Fuck that. Let's go back. Let's stay on task today. I'm going to try. So let's talk about my brother. One of the things that's been tilting me the most for the past few weeks, and one of the reasons that I found it crazy that all this happened, because I was supposed to come back and give my year episode, was my brother. Excuse me, I had a burp. That happens a lot on the show, I'm sorry. So, a little bit of history about myself. I was raised for majority of my young adult life in Long Beach, California, Orange County, around LA. I've I've just been around a lot over there, Southern California, basically. My father left when I was really young. I think I was seven. I spoke to him about it the other day, actually. I think I was like six, seven, something like that. And my father left. My father left the state. So I was, at an early age, left with the responsibility to raise my brothers and sisters, mostly because the hood that we grew up in, the neighborhood, was pretty rough, and it was only my mom, and she worked a lot, and she worked, you know, really hard for us, you know. And I know people have heard me talk in the past about her being kind of crazy and her being, you know, whatever, but honestly, now that I've done so much research and so much time, you know, writing these notes to understand other people, and that's a big part of it, guys. So we're going to get into that with my brother, but you have to understand the people from their point of view. Some of the big things that happened through my life that changed my relationship with my parents were the experiences that I was able to have that allowed me to have this this viewpoint without the other person, without the other person's view, right? So like, so basically, my mother telling me, hey, this is really hard to raise all these kids, didn't really go into my head. Like I didn't, it's not that I didn't believe it. I just, what would I know about that? Right. Fast forward, you know, years when I have, you know, now that I have my own kids, it makes a lot more sense, you know, what my mother went through, why she was the way that she was. And we're going to talk about that too, because that has a lot to do with survival mode type shit, which we'll talk a little bit on. So I was entrusted to kind of raise my little brothers and my little sister. And I did up until about the time I was 16-ish, 17-ish. I was pretty much the only person that was there for them. And yeah, it's just a lot. And so moving forward, my brother, the same brother that we're going to talk about today, he also has a cleft palate. And the reason I bring that up is because my brother at a young age was teased a lot and dealt with the bullying. That's where I come in as older brother, older angry brother, which we'll talk about that too. But he dealt with a lot of bullying and has a lot of self-image issues and just a huge amount of like holes. These are just like holes like in his fucking soul, basically, I guess you would call it. I don't know. I don't want to pretend to ever describe or try to pretend to understand what somebody else is going through, just because, again, I don't feel it's my place to try to tell you how or whatever you feel about something, but I do like to compare experiences. So that's what I'm going to try to do. Recently, so about 3 months ago, my brother called me out of the blue again, and I hadn't noticed before, but there's a bit of patterns, like there's some patterns in when he deals with me, right? So I didn't notice until I started logging this the last couple of weeks, when I started going through just notes about him and my interactions with him, because they're very scarce. Like, I don't interact with him. I don't know my brothers anymore. They left when I moved to where I live now, and they moved with me. They decided quickly that they wanted to leave again, and they did, with my mother, actually. So my mother dropped all of us out here to get along with my biological father and have this time. And then my two younger biological brothers were like, you know, hey, fuck this. We want to leave and go back to, you know, California and LA and whatever. And that's what they did. So basically, after high school, and you know, kind of landing where I was, I had a son, you know, pretty early on. I think I was about 20 or 19 when my son was conceived. And then I kind of went right into that with regular work jobs and normal stuff. But my life was really grounded, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Like, once I had a kid, you know, that's what, having a kid didn't cure me or anything weird like that, but it, it really toned me down. I was able to look outside and look at my friends and some of them that were hooligans, you know, and say, look, I can't hang out with you guys. You know, there's somebody relying on me right now. So I can't put myself in any kind of issues. So this is an off tangent, but during that time I was rolling around with, I will say, a club of people, a group of people that were a club. I'm using air quotes right now. And we were a group of friends and we ran around and did hooligan stuff. And then another group of friends, you know, showed up and they wanted to do hooligan stuff. And, you know, somebody decided to bring guns to the hooligan stuff. And that's where we were like, yeah, I'm done with that. And again, because I had a son, that I actually made a decision to step away from that group of friends way sooner than somebody started bringing guns to these things. And it worked out for me. So I guess that's all I'm trying to say is, like, having a kid really, because you have to choose, you know, what's more important in your life, it changes you a lot. And it did for me. You know, guys, please don't run out and have kids. Kids don't make your life better. If you want something to love on that's going to make your life better, get a fucking dog. I'm not knocking anybody. Kids will add to your life 10,000 times over what they will subtract, because they don't subtract anything except for resources. But if you're a person like me who has a hard time even keeping your resources or even caring about your resources, you know, stay away from the kid section. It's a brutal fucking savage road to walk. So, you know, that's my PSA for now, is if you're dealing with this and you're dealing with a bipolar person, you know, be careful. We tend to get excited about kids. Like, you know, I don't know what I'm fucking talking about. Just don't. We get excited about making kids, not about having kids. We get excited about making kids. So be careful with the bipolar thing and running around sleeping with people, because that's on the list of apparent things that we do. I don't know. If you guys can tell that I'm talking pretty fast, I'm not manic. I'm nervous. I just want to put that out there. I also want to add more things like mania levels. So I would like to say that my manic level, or how I feel today, is like 2. Like, I feel like myself. I didn't have any caffeine or anything weird like that. I'm just really nervous because I hate this. So let's move on. So I raised my brothers, and I have this brother, and he's got this cleft on his face. He's got these issues. He's got this trauma. We come up here. We go to live. They disappear. Now, that's the short end of the stick. Me and my brother, we had a lot of issues. Like, he got busted for running, like, a criminal, I don't want to say enterprise, but, like, he was running a theft ring like a dumbass. My brothers, like, again, and this isn't their, it is their fault, but they didn't just learn this. They saw me doing hooligan shit when I was a young kid, and there was no way that they weren't going to follow in my footsteps, so to speak. And so my brother, you know, when he was here, he got in a little bit of trouble. It was embarrassing for him. You know, that his interactions with my father were very, I don't want to say embarrassing for him, but they were a struggle. Being raised by a bunch of different men, by different people, you know, whether it was because my mom had short relationships, or it was because, you know, I met just people on the street or whatever, you know, my best friend is one of my best friends that I still have from my old life, you know, being in California, is a gentleman who I grew up next door, who was my neighbor, you know, he's older than me. I just spoke to him Sunday though. Like, we talk all the time, you know, that will never change. For my brother, because he's generationally, I think he's 3 years behind me, 4 years behind me. He's not super far off, but he also didn't connect the same way with people that I did, because I was the oldest, because I had a little bit of time with my father. I was pretty close with my dad growing up, because my dad was always the calmer one for the most part. My mom is definitely the one who, if I were to be asked blindly who's more of a chance of having, you know, manic depression or bipolar disorder or any of that, you know, I would say it was my mom. Of course, I grew up with my mom and I understand the trauma that she went through because, again, we'll talk about it later, but survival mode. So anyways, looking at all that stuff, it's, I don't know. It's wild. This is a lot, and it's, I'm trying to keep all of my notes straight, and I'm having a hard time already because, again, this stuff works me up a lot, and I spend a lot of time in my cognitive therapy to fucking work against this, I guess. Welcome to Bipolar Bits, guys, where we talk about shit that sucks. Anyways, it's not easy, guys. If you're going through this, you know, to all my peoples that are going through it right now that are here because you're scared and fucked up and feel alone, you know, that's okay. That's how we all feel. And it's not even people who are bipolar. That's everybody. So don't feel bad, you know. To all my people who are trying to understand this, I hope this is helping. Anyways, so on to my brother. So we just don't know each other. Like, I don't know him. And now, I've been here for 23 years, and I would say in the last 10 to 50, like, I don't know them. I lived with this thought in my head for so long that my brothers were my family and this, that, or the other. And they are. I'm not saying that they're not, but I don't deal with them in everyday life and everyday day-to-day interactions. And to me, I've had to reel in how I feel about people and recognize that there has to be healthy emotion there. And also that it has to match what it is. And we're going to talk about that too. So here I am with my brother, and he calls me a few months ago, and he calls me up and he starts telling me about all these things that he's figured out. And if anybody, you know, I'm not knocking anybody about anything. If you sit around all day and try to puzzle solve your life, good on you, man. If you're doing that for positive stuff and you think that you need to sit down and we all need to get a hold of our lives, that is 100% true. I support that. I myself am keeping notes right here in front of me that I'm not only keeping and writing down as we go through the podcast, but also trying to follow, right? So a couple months ago, he calls me and he's like, hey, man, you know, I'm figuring all this stuff out. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Hold on. I got to retract. I'm sorry. I messed up my whole story here. Hold on. A couple months, he calls me out of the blue and he says, hey, I need help. Now, mind you, let me tell you the story about my brother the time before he called me. He called me 8 or 9 months before this call and he goes, hey, man, I need help. I said, what do you need help with? And he said, I'd like to buy a gaming PC. And he said, what kind, do you play video games still? You know, is this something you do? Blah, blah, blah. I said, not really. You know, I do play. I'm not saying that I don't. I don't play out of depression anymore. So I play a lot less because I don't need to play anymore to sit here and be sad. So, and there was a huge part of my life where I did do that. I think I discussed that in older episodes. But he says, hey, I want to buy a gaming rig. Can you help me? Blah, blah, blah. I said, sure, no problem, dude. I said, but instead of me, because he wanted me to pick him out a computer. I said, instead of me picking you out a computer, why don't you sit down with me and I'll teach you how to look at computers and we'll go over everything and I'll help you learn all this. And then you'll be able to pick computers the rest of your life by yourself, you know, because I'm really into that shit. I know it sounds corny, but you know, the whole teach a man to fish, you feed him forever type bullshit. Okay. I just wanted to help my brother. He's my brother. And I want him to be educated. You know, I want him to understand whatever he doesn't understand if I can. So I go through all the motions before we even started. I sat him down, you know, on the phone and I said, listen, man, I go, I don't care what you're doing, but you got a huge habit of coming into my life and coming out of my life. I said, are you buying this to come play with us, your family members, your nephews, like some people that we know and hang out with? Or are you buying this and I'm not going to see you again? And his response was, oh no, I'm going to buy it and I'm going to come hang out with you, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So I said, all right, I'll sit down and I'll work with you. So I sit down and I work with him, and for like 3 or 4 nights, I'm helping him and he's blowing up my phone, asking me all these questions, and I'm helping him and I'm helping him and I'm helping him. He buys the computer and fucking silence, crickets. I don't hear from him again. So my brother calls me out of the blue, asks me for fucking help on this computer thing, and then he blows me off. Now, mind you, I'm like, okay, whatever, dude. That's whatever. I let it go because at this point, again, I'm used to it. So fast forward 8 months, whatever, it's 2 months ago, he calls me again. Now, again, this, I don't hear from this guy at all. You know, I'm not exaggerating. I don't talk to him. Sometimes he'll send me text messages to ask me questions about gear, like for different sports that we play or whatever. And that's it. He'll be like, oh yeah, you know, do you want fucking blah, blah, blah? Do you want to, you know, how do I do this? Or what should I buy for this item? Or what, you know, these kinds of questions. That's all I hear from. Okay. So fast forward, he calls me out of the blue 2 months ago. He gets on the phone with me and he says, hey man, I need help. I said, sure. I'll help you again because that's what I do. You're my little brother. Apparently that's what I'm here for. So he says, and he goes, I'm having a hard time with everything. I can't sleep. My nightmares are crazy. I'm super unhappy. He says, what do I do? And here's my thing, guys. Okay, welcome to my podcast, Bipolar Bits. I'm going to call it a radio show from now on. Welcome to my show, my radio show, Bipolar Bits, where I gave him the information and the tips that I give you guys, okay? Here it is. Here's number one. Get some fucking therapy, man, all right? And that's it. Like, get some therapy. We'll have a discussion. You know what? I'm going to write it down right now. Okay. Next episode, how to pick therapist, okay? So, I tell my brother, he calls me out of the blue with this fucking talking this shit about, and I hate to say this, but I have to because this is the whole point we're here. My brother growing up, he encountered me when I was angry. Okay. I was angry all the time. I was angry. My dad abandoned me, all of us. I was angry that we were poor. I was angry that my mom had to work so much and that she still couldn't afford anything because where we had to live was fucking garbage. I was angry that I saw so many people living on the streets. I knew so many fucking drug dealers. I knew so many horrible kids that had parents. You know, I was just an angry kid. And once I was able to channel that anger into certain things, once I became the dick that I was going to become in my teens, that anger kind of just, you know, for lack of better words, like flowed out of me, right? This isn't Star Wars. Don't worry. We're not going to talk about the Force and everything else. But no, I was a fucking angry kid. And it's funny because in past episodes, I've told you guys, the most encounter I'd ever had with bipolar people is I was talking to a chick on the phone one time and her sibling was fucking screaming bloody murder, like in the background. And I was like, dude, what the fuck is going on in your house, dude? Is somebody dying? And she goes, nah, don't worry. That's just my sister. She's bipolar. And I remember being a young fucking kid at like 15 and being like, what the fuck does that even mean, bro? And this girl was like, oh, it just means she gets angry a lot. And that was it, right? And I've told you guys this before. That's my first interaction with being bipolar. So anyways, my brother dealt with me when I was angry. And so my brother, he saw me fight a lot. And he knows I got a bad habit of running my mouth and picking fights with people, even if I shouldn't. I'm one of those idiots who is like, hey, you know, there's four of you, but if I smash one of you, at least you're going to remember me. The four of you will remember me tomorrow. You know, and that was kind of how I kind of thought when I was younger, and it was fucking stupid. And I got my ass whooped a lot. So, but it was anger. It was anger fueling that, right? Like, that's what that was. It was just youth and anger and, you know, abandonment and all these horrible feelings. Well, my brother calls me 2 months ago and he says, look, man, you're a fucking savage asshole. He goes, you're always knocking people down. You're not afraid of anything, and you're not afraid to do this, and you're not afraid to do that, and you live your life how you want, blah, blah, blah. You know, and he's basically like sucking my dick metaphorically, right? Like, haha, you know, you're so big and bad. He goes, and I'm having trouble. He says, how do I conquer this? That's it. How do I conquer this? And I said, look, bro, you got to go to therapy. That's it. There's no secret. There's no secret. All therapy is somebody that you can trust that's unbiased, that you don't know, that you talk to. That's all it is. And I'm not saying that's all it is or all it accomplishes or all that results from it. I'm saying at the base fucking core line, there's a reason why motherfuckers go to the bar and talk to the bartender, because the bartender's not trying to kill you. The bartender's not trying to fucking make bad choices for you. We know that we go pay this guy to listen to us, you know, and kind of give us some root, like base advice. And that's what people like, you know. Anyways, it's a tale as old as time. So my brother calls me and says, hey man, I need to get through all this, blah, blah, blah. I said, go get therapy, homie. Now, all in the same conversation, my brother, he starts telling me about all this shit that he's learned. And I'm like, dude, that's super cool. Like, and I'm not saying anything to him. I'm just listening. Like, hey, that's super cool. Okay, cool. Okay, cool. Then he says it again. He goes, man, I need help though. I need your answers. And I said, what answers? And he goes, I need the answers on how you helped yourself, how you got all this done, what you got done productively. How do I replicate that? And I said, bro, you need therapy. And then halfway through the conversation turned, right? So he said, I said, bro, you need therapy. And he goes, well, I already know all that. I don't fucking need, and this was verbatim. He goes, I already know all those stupid fucking self-help books. I don't need that shit. He says, I need the answer you have. And I said, I don't understand what are we talking about? I said, you need fucking therapy, bro. I don't understand what we're saying right now. Like, you called me for advice. I'm giving you the advice. Here's the advice on a platter for free. From a person you're supposed to trust. Like, you're saying, he's telling me on the phone, I trust you, I love you, you're the only person that watched out for me, you protected me as a kid, I need help. Okay, well, here's my help, go to therapy. But he don't want to listen. So then he starts yelling at me. No, 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 that's not what I fucking want. You're not fucking listening. Listen, I need this fucking thing. If you just fucking tell me that, fucking it'll be better. And he just starts going on and on. Well, somehow it turns nasty because I tried to give him examples. I said, look, dude, I went to the therapy and then I went and just did shit that I'm supposed to do. And it worked out. I said, I have a huge support circle. I have a huge crew of friends that I run around with. I get to do all the activities I've ever wanted to that I wasn't able to as a young adult. I can show up at the dojo anytime I want. I can go dirt bike riding anytime I want. I go BMX anytime I want. I'm allowed to do anything, and I worked for this life, and here we are, and I spoke to the therapist, and she said, hey, it's okay, you can go do all this stuff, there's no issues, you don't have to feel this way, and I told him that. I said, look, man, go get some therapy, you don't need anything else, you just need someone to talk to that you trust, you know, and he told me to fuck off. That was it. Like, he was like, fuck you, you're lying to me, that's fucking bullshit, and I'm like, I don't know what to fucking say to this guy, because now to me, it's a stranger calling me out to fucking tell me all this fucking shit. So I said, listen, little brother, I said, I don't have time for this. I said, I'm sorry about everything that we went through. I said, I'm sorry that you're having a hard time. I said, but you don't ever call me unless you need something. I go, then you don't listen to me. And then you yell at me and make me feel bad after you've dug up all this fucking trauma. And then I'm supposed to just sit on it and take it in the ass while you go off and do whatever fucking party, rave, fucking hangout, travel you're going to do after getting a rise out of me. That's rough, you know? Now let's talk about a couple of points. Let's talk about different points, okay? So you're going to tell me like, well, you should get over it. I should get over it, and I am. But part of getting over it, listen, when you get over doing heroin, you don't fucking go hang out in the heroin house, okay? If you're trying to not smoke meth, you don't go fucking hang out in the homie's house while he's fucking freebasing and you're watching fucking SpongeBob cartoons, bro. That's not the way to do it. And do you think that it's going to hurt any less? That's the thing that fucking people don't tell you about this trauma bullshit. They're like, oh, well, you got to get over it, sweetheart. Yeah, getting over it means just moving on. That's it. There's no, you're not going to fucking look at it and accept it and say, oh, you know what? You know, that time you hit me in the head with the shovel, it was okay. I don't mind it. You know, I'm over it. The fact that I can only use my right arm, you know, that's irrelevant because I'm over it. Like, bro, you're not, that pain's not going away. You are just learning to functionally move with it. And that's what I tell everyone too. And I hope this comes across in the episodes. This podcast isn't about fucking learning the cure. Okay. This isn't Robert Smith in the fucking 80s. This is some different shit. Like, This is my way to go to a meeting without going to the meeting. Yeah, it's kind of goofy, right? This is ongoing therapy for me all the time because I'm fucking horribly just upset about it. Anyways, so my brother brings all this stuff up. We're at the end of this conversation. I said, listen, man, you call me for advice. You stroke my dick to get the answer out of me. And then when I give you my answer, you spit in my face and tell me it's not right. Or that I'm lying to you, or that I don't understand, right? Okay, what do I do with that? Nothing. So I told my brother, I said, I'm really good at this. I said, listen, brother, you call me once a year to add drama to my life. You know what that's called? That's called a 15-year-old girlfriend. I don't have time for you. You don't pay my bills. You don't suck my dick. You're not my fucking homie. So I told him, I said, it's probably best for you not to call me anymore because I'm not going to let you treat me like shit and I'm not going to treat you like shit. So why are you calling? And then I told him goodbye and I blocked his number. Now, again, a lot of bipolar people will say, I'm sorry, not bipolar people. A lot of people will say like, oh, bipolar people are really bad at keeping people in their lives and they get rid of people and they get rid of people and they get rid of people. And this is not something that I'm making up. I fucking read this and heard this from other people who have experienced it. Well, I'm here to tell you something. I don't think this has to do with anything about being bipolar. I think it has to do with the fact that we just don't want to feel like dog shit. And I think that this goes to any healthy relationship, and this goes on to regular people who aren't manic depressives. If you have somebody in your life that constantly verbally abuses you, get fucking rid of them. This dude comes into my life every once in a while and calls me, and he thinks that he has that right because we grew up together, and I used to throw hands on his fucking, on his name, like, that's not a thing, bro. You think because I protected you, you're just going to call me up and use me. That's fucking ridiculous. I'd rather talk to you guys than talk to this motherfucker because at least you guys came here to hear the advice. And listen, I've had people write me or write comments about the podcast and literally say, well, I didn't learn a fucking thing. Well, then I feel bad for you because I'm sitting here telling you my guts, like, this is how we're getting it done. This is what we have to do all the fucking time to etch away this little tiny dark hole that if you go near it too much is gonna fucking swallow you, bro. Like, you have to fucking sort your business out. Now, mind you, my brothers and sisters have been, not my sister so much, I'm sorry, I should say my brother, this particular brother is super good at fucking calling you up, telling you what a great job you're doing. Then when he gets mad, starts belittling you and telling you, blah, 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 you're a joke, this is a joke, that's a joke, your life's a piece of shit, I've done more than you. And he gets on this crazy fucking kick. And it's fucking wild. And I look at him and I'm like, one of the parts that really fucked with me, well, let me continue the story first so we can finish the recap of what's happening right now currently. So this 2 month thing happens and I block him. Fast forward, or 2 months ago or 2.5 months ago, fast forward to current date, last week or whatever, I'm hanging out with my dad, who again, I've had to spend years rebuilding a relationship with. When I moved here, I didn't even know the guy, but we'll talk about that later. So I'm spending time talking to my dad's actually at my house, hanging out with my kids, you know, doing the grandfather thing, hanging out with the new dog. And my brother calls him. Now, again, to fill you in on their current status relationship, a year ago, my brother was on the phone with me and he said, hey, man, I think I'm going to tell our dad to fuck off, that I don't need him for the rest of my life and I don't want to talk to him. And I said, brother, that's your business. You can do what you want. If you want to do that, go ahead. That's your business. I'm not going to tell you what to do. You're a grown ass man. You do what you want. So he did that and he hadn't talked to my dad. Well, when this happened with my dad, when I blocked him the last time, I told my dad, I said, look, bro, you're probably going to hear from him because he can't call me. So he's going to call somebody else. And look, sure enough, he heard from my dad. Now, this is where things get a little fucking fishy. And look, we're 37 minutes in, and I might have to turn this into two episodes. I'm not even sure, but this is where it gets really fucking fishy. So he calls my dad and he tells him, oh, I was a jackass. I've been trying to do this and I figured this out and I figured this out. Okay, cool. Well, then he gets on the phone with me and he starts rattling off about, hey, man, I figured this out and I can fix all of this and I can fix our whole family and I can fix you too. And I'm like, what do you mean you can fix me? Like, are you going to come and work on my arm or something? No, I'm joking. I didn't really say that. I didn't say much of anything to him. I just let him ramble off. And he did. He rambled on about this fucking book that he reads over and over again. He's got this thing where he's obsessed and thinks that he's part of this storyline mentality that he's carrying around in his head. And honestly, it reminded me of being young and running around with those groups of people again. And I'm sitting here like, that's totally cool, except for the fact that you're 30 something years old and you feel this way. And most fucking people that feel this way grow out of it once they hit like 17 years old, 18 years old, 19, 20, 21, 22, take your fucking pick. But at 30 something years old, you shouldn't be comparing your life to a fictional book that has nothing to do with you. I mean, literally, this book is set in outer space with a bunch of people doing shit that you ain't even involved in. And he's like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. This is what we need to be doing. You know? So it was really fucking weird. He holds my dad a hostage on the phone for like 3.5 hours. Then he directs over to me and gets on my phone for like an hour and a half, 2 hours. And it was wild because he's just spouting all these things like, I'll fix you. I'll fix you. I figured it out. I see everything. I understand. And then what's worse, and this is the part that makes me feel horrible too, is he starts going on the narcissistic vibe. You know, it's just been horrible that I've been living on my own this whole time, yet I'm the smartest person in the room all the time and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, listen, dog, you're the smartest in the room all the time because you serve pizza for a living. What else can we say about that? I'm not trying to be mean to you, but you need to fucking live on Earth, right? Like, your job is to manage a Pizza Hut or whatever. That's why you're the smartest dude in the room, because you hang out with fucking 17-year-olds and they're dumb. I mean, no disrespect to anybody like that. You're young and stupid. That's part of life. That's part of the, you know, that's it. That's part of the train, man. So he keeps telling me all this stuff and he's like, I'm going to fix you. And I told him, I said, Ruddy, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't need you to fix me. I just need you to be okay and you be you and maybe chill out and go to therapy. And he just kept saying it. He's like, no, 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 your life's fucking horrible. You've been living a shitty life. You don't do anything. You live a garbage life. And he goes on and on and on about how my life's fucked up. And I'm like, trying to tell him, I'm like, listen, bro, I don't really know you. Like, I like that you're talking to me because you're my flesh and blood. But we don't talk but once a year, and usually it's about random weird shit that I don't probably even care about anymore. And you're still stuck in this fucking hole, you know? And I was like, it was extremely hard to deal with. So after all of this, though, it just hasn't stopped. He's blown me up with fucking numerous text messages, and it's all fucking psycho shit. Let's talk about something about this. So narcissistic personality disorder was something that somebody brought up. And again, guys, I don't pretend to understand or prescribe or diagnose anybody, but somebody brought it up. And the fact that these messages were so clear cut. Okay. They were just clear as day. Like, I want to read some of them to you, but I also don't, because, you know, that's not what we're really here for. I'm not trying to belittle anybody. You know, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. I'm trying to get across that these things are fucking wild, right? So here's one right here. We spent every day preparing for battle. It's been, in my case, 33 years. Battle comes and goes. It can't be the mood of all day, all the time. That's illogical, not when so many other days have been seen next to battles. What the fuck does that even mean? I don't know what you're talking about. And, you know, it would be different. I get it. Our whole family's military and all this other shit. But it feels like this brother is the one who hasn't ever even been in a fight before. Like, the one and only fist fight he got into, he charged some dude and jumped on him like a fucking banshee koala bear, and the dude fell on my brother, and I ran over and fucking threw hands on this dude and basically whooped his ass until he got off my brother and ran away down the road. Like, that's the biggest fight my brother's ever been into. And he's like, I'm preparing for battle. And I'm like, buddy, I don't know what that means. That's not realistic. That's not even fucking healthy. Like, 33 years. What are you talking about? What I believe this is, guys, and I want to bring this up to our next point, our next heavy point in the podcast. What I think this is I think that this is more related to what's called survival mode mental health, in the mental health field. So survival mode is another term for continuous unresolved stress, also known as chronic stress. All human beings have experienced stress at one point or another, but in survival mode, stress has been prolonged to a degree where the person feels unable to relax. Parts of the brain associated with fear are overreactive. Okay. So that is something that I was like, wow, this is stuff that it's not good. Okay. So in your survival mode, you have chronic fatigue, you have difficulty in sleeping, you have heightened anxiety, you have feelings of being overwhelmed, you have difficulty concentrating, you have increased irritability, you have lack of motivation. Okay. These are all different things from survival mode. Okay. And when you have all these things, basically what happens is you don't live your life. And this is for my brother, guys. Listen, the thing that freaked me out the most about this with my brother is that it really confirmed that the feelings that I had when I was younger were real. And again, were they excessive? 110%. Did I need to feel doomed and fucked? No, of course not. But I did. And that was something that I had to get over and that I've been working on again for years. Part of the reason for starting this podcast was that whole bit. So here's this kid living in survival mode and I don't know what to do because the shit that he says is so fucked up. And it just, there was other stuff, guys, and it really leads. I know I didn't read the parts about narcissistic, but I'll tell it to you, not verbatim, but I'm on a recap of what I remember. It was basically like, I'm the smartest person in the world. You know, I'm only shorthanded because I let myself be, because I could beat everybody. I'm always the smartest guy in the room and it's horrible being so smart and having done nothing about it, blah, blah, blah. It's basically fucking psycho narcissistic shit. Like, I don't know how else you would fucking put that. Like, if I'm not from that life, like I am a person who's quiet and silent in the corner, but I've also been blessed and lucky enough that some of the people that did kind of help raise me, they put me into a community that teaches you to have, you know, a double mindset, you know, and you should have a double mindset. You should have multiple mindsets on all kinds of different things, right? You might drive a car really fucking great. You might be the greatest fucking driver in the history of man. You could be Jeff Gordon or fucking Speed Racer or whoever your favorite racer is, okay? But if I give you a BMX bike and tell you to drop into a 40-foot fucking dirt mound, you know, are you going to do it full force? Probably not, because you have to fucking understand that in certain things, it's just different. And when it comes to moods and understanding things and how we relax and how we live our lives, that is 100% true. It doesn't matter what I do, guys. It's not going to change for me as a man. Like, I didn't grow up and get super big. And then I was like, well, you know what? I never have stress again, guys. Like, I'm not upset about anything. I'm the biggest motherfucker in the fucking place. Now, it's not for lack of trying, and we'll talk about that in another episode, but it didn't happen. You either learn to live with what's going on and you learn to live with yourself and then choose a better recourse, like a new path, and you get better and you work continuously, or you sit around like my brother, you isolate yourself and you become a narcissistic fucking weirdo who just talks about weird shit constantly. My brother is so fucking whacked out of his mind right now. So this one was funny. He goes, what's the point of all your businesses? And I was explaining to him all the different companies I work with. And he goes, because I'm technically would be considered a contractor. And he goes, well, you know, I can help you make it so that way all of it works. And I said, but it already works. Yeah, but I can make it better. But how are you going to make it better when you don't even know what I do? That doesn't even make any fucking sense. Like, that's ludicrous. Again, that it's fucking crazy. You know, if you... The mind when, and I don't know if my brother's bipolar, but seeing this mania, seeing the narcissistic thoughts that he has because he put them in text message and is able to send them and then communicate them to me, seeing how he feels about these things and just being like to sit there and say like, I'm the smartest guy in the room 99% of the time. Bro, that just made you the dumbest guy in the room 99% of the time. That's all I'm saying, right? Like, this is savage stuff, guys. I really can't believe it happened right around the time that I needed to come back and fill an episode in, and that's wild to me. Because again, I needed something to talk about, you know, and I didn't want to do this, but now I'm looking at this series of it's different because now I'm dealing with the same thing and I'm having a hard time. I'm having a hard time. Like I'm really, really having a hard time with it, you know? And my brother kept telling me, he's like, man, I have all this stuff that I'm afraid of. I have all this stuff that I didn't do because I'm afraid. And that's the biggest point, guys. You know, I went to and I went to a competition and participated in a competition the other day that I've been trying to get to since I was fucking like 15 years old. And it felt great. I even got DQ'd my first 10 seconds. And it was awesome. Because again, I'm the one that talked myself out of doing it. And now I'm able to get through this, thank God, because I have such a great support system. You know, it allowed me to participate, and I've never felt better, and I've never felt happier, you know, for trying something new. I'm going to get off of here because it's been about 15 minutes. This has been a long one. I wanted to keep, you know, keep my word to you guys and say, hey, look, I'm really here to stay this time. I'm really happy that I can't believe, I don't know who's listening. Listen, guys, please write me bipolar bits, the number 1313 at gmail.com. Just bipolar bits spelled out, the number 1 and 3 at gmail.com. Please, I would love to hear your guys' thoughts. I would love to hear somebody, you know, just, I don't know. I love hearing your guys' stories because it makes me feel like I'm not crazy talking into this microphone at nobody about a problem I can't really see. So I'm going to get off this episode for now. I went a little bit longer than I wanted to, but it definitely was more, it was more productive, and I feel that maybe I was able to stay on a subject a little bit longer, which is always nice for me. I am working again, guys. I'm going to work my notes out, and I'm hopefully going to get more streamlined in doing this. I'm really grateful that you guys are here. I hope you guys are getting something out of this. I don't know. For the first time ever, I kind of want to ask you guys for advice, but at the same time, I'm thinking like, fuck it, man. I've worked so hard in building my new life. Do I really want to let something like that come into it and just poison the well? That's right. See what I did there? Wink, wink. You guys like Poison the Well? I'm joking. Thanks for checking it out. Bipolarbits13@gmail.com. We have a Patreon up, guys, if you want to support the channel. I would appreciate it. I'm going on like 9 years of running a studio and just barely treading water and getting my shit kicked in. And you know what? I'm still happier than I've ever been. So if you guys want to support us on Patreon, do it. I'm thinking about creating a social media, like a social media type outlet where I'm going to create an Instagram maybe, or a Twitter, and maybe let people talk on it. I'm not 100% sure yet. I'm not sure where I want this to go, because I do want it to go now. I just don't know where. Thanks again for listening, guys. Bipolarbits13@gmail.com. I know I'm talking fast, but I swear to God, it was because I was super nervous. I promise. Talk to you guys later. I hope you're all well.